Good morning, South End folks, and everyone else that's joined us across the internet. We are just grateful to start our worship service this morning. Hope you're excited about what God has to say to you today. Would you join me for a word of prayer so we can get started? Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity we have to worship. We have to gather, and we thank you for all who are a part of this live stream, Father, that you would bless them and speak to them. Father, we know that the media is just something that you're able to use to accomplish your desires and to spread the message of hope and grace and mercy that comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray you use this time to bring glory to yourself. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Well, good morning. As we begin our praise and worship time this morning, I want to encourage everybody to sing along with us. If you can't sing out loud in your house, I don't know where you can sing. So this is a good opportunity for you to sing along with us this morning.
Water, you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are high.
Thank you. for the next song, I want you all to just make this your prayer for the week as we just shout to the Lord with our praises and our songs of gratitude, and just, I'm going to just pray that that's just everything, that there's nothing that compares to Him, and that just everything is all just for Him, and there's nothing that compares to Him.
Well, good morning, folks. We're going to be looking at James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12 this morning. And if I look like I'm standing weird, it's because I'm, you know, realize that there's certain things I can't do anymore, and they're really simple things. I'd love to tell you that I did something to my back by lifting too much weight, or as Bobby said earlier, I was hitting a fadeaway jump shot. No, it's not that dramatic. It's really just something kind of stupid. But anyway, just kind of standing a little weird today. Hopefully it'll kind of get better as we go along. But I appreciate your prayers for me, if you would, just to kind of that healing, just the back. You know how it is when our backs hurt. We've all been through that. Anyway, sidebar, that's over. Let's kind of take a look at the text this morning. James chapter 5, we've been going through the book of James, and we're kind of nearing the end of that book. And this is one of those texts that isn't long, but has a lot to say. So I want to give you a chance to find that in your copy of God's Word, wherever you are. James chapter 5, we're going to look at just verses 7 through 12. And if you want to read along with me as I read this text. And James writes, he says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment." Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for James as he shares these words with us, for his faithfulness to place these things down so that we might spend some time looking at the day. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would guide us through this process as we look at your word and you speak to each and every one of us in the situations that we find ourselves, knowing that you, O Lord God, are in control of all things and you are going to do as you desire with our lives. I pray, Lord God, you would speak to us today and use me as your vessel to faithfully communicate your word to your people, that we might hear, we might understand, we might obey, and our lives and our world might be transformed as a result of it. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes in life, it's easy to let our circumstances get the better of us. And we're probably dealing with that. A lot of us are at this time in the world right now, of wondering whether or not things are ever going to change or go back to what we consider normal. We'll ever be able to kind of do some of the things that we took for granted just a little over a month ago. Those kind of things are seeming more and more distant. We hope that that changes soon. We pray it does. We pray for our leaders as they make those decisions. And things begin to open up, we hope. I know in certain states across the country, they have begun that process. So we pray for them that all goes well and that we continue to move forward and that God would use this time to speak to us. And I believe one of the things that God has taken done with this time that we have in our culture today, in our world today, is to give us a better time to really step back, focus, and listen. I think God, you know, a lot of times we get so busy and so caught up in all the things that we do and all the things we think we have to get done that we fail to take the time to listen to God. And my hope this morning as we look at this text that we'll just let the Holy Spirit use it and speak to us about these things. Because there are times that circumstances, times that situations frustrate us, don't they? Especially when we can't control them. And, you know, we like to be in control. We like to be able to know that everything that we're doing in our lives, that there is a point and a purpose to it, and that we can have some effect on those things. But we are in a situation in our globe right now that we really don't have any control over. And that bothers some people, myself, and you know, I would probably include many of the others. I'm sure would include yourself in that as well. But the reality is that God is still in control of it no matter what we experience. God is the one who walks with us. God is the one who leads us. God is the one who directs us. God knows exactly where this is going and wants to use it for his purposes to accomplish whatever he desires in and through our lives. And that matters more to him than the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And James was speaking to believers as he writes this back in the first century, and he's kind of sharing these things and these thoughts, and that's part of the encouragement. He's encouraging them. If you notice the very beginning, he uses a word that, as people, we sometimes get frustrated when he says in verse 7, be patient. I know patience is something that many of us struggle with. It's not something we enjoy experiencing. We all want patience, but we want it right now, right? That's kind of the way we look at patience. It's something we have to gain, and we know over time we struggle with that, but he reminds us to be patient. And he uses an example that many of you may be familiar with, some more than others. He talks about the farmer. The farmer waits on the precious produce of the soil. He says, you know, I tried growing stuff. I remember in grade school, they gave us a watermelon seed and we were to grow a watermelon plant. And that was the only thing that I ever successfully did not kill that I brought home in all my school years and everything else that's been given to me. And part of that was because as soon as I got that thing going, I brought it home to my dad who could grow anything anywhere. He has that gift. And we got it and we actually he put it in the garden and we began a watermelon plant, came from that little seed and it, you know how it goes. And he, of course, added to it. But as I think of that, I think about the importance of being patient. Because, you know, when that seed, when I stuck it in the dirt and I started watering, I expected something to happen. You know, that's what happens when you see the videos, right? But it doesn't happen that way, does it? And I often think of, in my previous church, many of you know, was a farming community. I had several farmers in my church, and so I'd kind of listen to them and hear their heart about where they struggled. And, you know, they talk about the weather and all those kind of different things and how that affects their livelihood and whether their crop will grow. And James is speaking here to remind us that there's an element of patience in dealing with that, but that patience also works its way out in our life. As he speaks about the soil, that you have to wait for it to get the certain rains and all the different circumstances have to be just right for things to grow, the same is true in your life and in my life as well. And the work of the Spirit in our lives, we have to wait. God is doing a work in us, and that work does not take place instantaneously. When God saved you, when he delivered you, he did not simply make you the person you needed to be in that moment. He began that work on you and began to alter you, began to change you, began to move in your life, and began to help you focus and refocus the direction of your life more towards the principles and purposes that he has for you. And that growing process that we find ourselves in as we follow God is, I believe, what James is referring to here. And I think verse 8 is probably the linchpin. You hear me use that term a lot when I talk about Scripture, but of this whole text, that's really the heart of what it means to be a follower as James is describing it here. And I think it speaks volumes to us as followers of Jesus Christ. You too be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Now, there's been a lot of talk in our world today about things, especially with the circumstances in which we find ourselves, that people say, well, Jesus must be coming back soon with all that's going on. I hope he's coming back soon. I don't know that he is. I'd love to tell you that I know when he's coming, but I don't have a clue, and anybody that tells you that they know doesn't know, because only the Father knows. But he will come when the Father believes it's ready. But my role and your role as followers of Christ is to be patient, is to strengthen our hearts, to focus our hearts and minds upon the things that matter to God, allow God to equip us, to encourage us, to enable us to follow him more faithfully and completely. And as we do that, as we allow God to do that work in our lives, then God is able to do some incredible things in and through us as we surrender, submit, and allow him to move through us. Because God will accomplish things in accordance with his timing, not mine or yours. And many of us have been through seasons like that in our lives, haven't we? We've had situations where we've asked God to do something, and we're like, God, you know, you can move now, you can work now. It would really be good if you do this now, and God instead says something we don't expect. They say when you pray to God, you'll get one of three answers: yes, no, and wait. And two of those we don't really care for. How many of you have your children ask you for something, and you, those of you who have children, you have your children ask you for something, and you have to tell them no, and you appreciate their response? You know, it's a challenge. I can remember when our daughters were younger, and we would go to the store, and they would go with us, and we'd be around, and they would want something. And they were really pretty good. They didn't scream and cry, but I would see other parents who had to be extremely frustrated watching their children. You probably have seen this as well, where a child goes into a fit because they didn't get what they wanted. And that's frustrating, because I think sometimes as believers, we do that same thing with God, don't we? We may not go all out loud, but we get upset with God. Say, God, why didn't you work this out for me? Why didn't you let it work the way I want it to work? Why do I have to go through this? Why? And like a little child, we cry and complain and we moan about why God is not doing what God is doing. And yet, God knows the big picture of your life. He knows everything that's going to happen. He knows how everything works together. He knows why he is allowing certain things to happen in your life that are happening at this time. I don't have that answer for you, but he does. And the purpose and plan he has for that is so that he can do something greater through it, because he wants to accomplish something incredible with your life and use your life to be a blessing to others. And maybe sometimes the difficulties and the struggles that we face, those things that challenge us, those things that cause us to say, I don't want to wait anymore, I want it to happen now, are the things that get in the way of really experiencing all that God has for us. I would dare say most of us probably do not enjoy going to the doctor, and the worst part of going to the doctor is sitting in the waiting room. And many of you have probably done that. You've had appointments. I can remember one time in particular as a child, it always sticks out in my memory. It's those goofy times. My mom and I wasn't feeling well, so we went to the doctor and we had an appointment. I was there, and the appointment was at 2 o'clock. Well, at 5 o'clock, right before they were closing, guess who got to go in and see the doctor? Now, you can imagine the mood that I was in at that point. I was, I think, 9 years old, so I wasn't, you know, really good at patience. Not that I am now, but it's even worse then. And very frustrated and just, you know, upset that I had to wait so long. But that's part of life sometimes, isn't it? We have to wait. We have to wait on God and let God do what God does, which is what he's applying here in that verse 8 that we just talked about a little bit. Waiting on God, being patient for God, knowing that God is in control. God will work it out for us. Because even when God says no or wait in our lives, God always knows what he's doing, and God has a reason for it. You can probably think back to times in your own life when there were situations that you thought were essential, things that needed to happen in this moment. Maybe it was a job. Maybe it was someone you wanted to get to know, folks, you know, whatever, or whatever it was in your life, some situation you wanted to fix. Maybe it was a health situation, and you wanted to be accomplished in that moment, and you just couldn't wait, and God just kind of wanted you to wait. And the waiting is hard, but it's in the middle of that, and I think that's kind of what we're in as a culture right now, maybe as a society. We're in a little bit of that kind of that waiting pool, trying to figure out what's going on. God, what are you trying to teach us through this? And as we wait and we listen to God, we think, well, when is this going to be over? Instead of experiencing the moment, living in the moment, and letting God speak to us in the moment. Because I've found in my own life, it's usually when I go through the challenging times, the difficult times, the times I don't appreciate, that God teaches me the most powerful lessons and the things that change the way that I understand the world in which I live. And I think we're going through a season like that in our world today, and I think in the church we're dealing with that a lot. In our church here at South End, we're struggling with that a little bit, trying to figure out what is going to be next. And we had a church council meeting virtually. We all got on our, I think it was Google Meets or one of those apps like that we used to get together, and we all were talking. That was the question we all had in our minds. We asked it, but we don't know. And there are too many unknowns right now, and that's okay. We'll just deal with that, so we just live in this moment and move forward. And I think that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to trust him in the unknown and in the difficulty and let him walk with us. And the example of that is clear in Scripture. I think back to the book of Exodus. I think of the Exodus as a whole, the experience of the Jewish people as they were going out of Egypt into the Promised Land, a journey that took them 40 years. It should have taken them significantly less time than that, but there's a whole lot of other issues we could talk about related to that, but I think about all the times how much of a struggle that had to be for Moses every day as they got up after they broke camp and got ready to move. And, well, are we there yet? Are we there? Are we close, Moses? Are we almost there? Do you think he heard that a time or two on that little journey from his fellow Israelites? And yet, I'm sure Moses said, God, when are we going to get there? When is this going to be over? I'm really tired of these people. God, when are we going to do this? But God had a purpose and a reason for that. And the same is true in your life, in my life. And then he goes on in another part of the text. He shifts focus a little bit in these verses after he talks about being patient. He then, in verse 9, says something that it fits, but kind of, I don't know. I mean, it's the Word of God, so I'm not going to say it doesn't fit. It just doesn't seem to fit the flow, but it's a powerful truth. He says, do not complain, brethren, against one another. Now, would that be an issue in the church today? Oh, yeah. It's an issue in our culture, but it's also an issue sometimes in the church. We complain and we whine against one another. We look at things that we don't agree with. We a lot of times in life, and even in church life, we focus more on what we don't have in common than what we do have in common. It's why you have so many churches in America in the same communities. Rather than coming together and worshiping together, we get upset over something and we depart. And Baptists are known for that. The church planting approach of Baptists for many years has been splits. And most churches experience that to some degree or another because of things, and it usually has to do with people not agreeing. And I'm not going to get into all the issues, and some people say, well, they were valid issues. We're not going there. Part of it starts with a spirit of complaining. And I mentioned the children of Israel a while ago, and that's because that was an issue for them. When Moses and Aaron were leading the people, there were people that began to complain about what Moses and Aaron were doing, that they didn't know what they were doing. And, you know, they probably didn't know what they were doing. I've never led 1 million people out of Egypt into the Promised Land. I don't know what that's like. I can't imagine the nightmare that would be, just the logistics of moving that many people. And no wonder they move so slowly, because, I mean, think about the time you get camp broke and started, then it's going to get dark, and in just a matter of hours, how far are you going to get with 1 million people when you're going to start in camp again? I mean, think about that. That's just a massive amount of, but they had to work through all that, and people were complaining about it, and God didn't appreciate that. If you look back on the text, those that complained about it suffered greatly. In fact, they got leprosy as a result of their complaining, if I remember right from the Scripture text, as it talks about that. But God does not appreciate that or expect us to complain against one another, and that's an admonition here from James as well. Do not complain, brethren, so that you yourselves will not be judged. And then that little phrase there, did you catch it? Because the judge is standing right at the door, and he's not talking about a circuit county judge, a circuit court judge, or a county judge. He's talking about the judge. God is watching and seeing all these things. Don't focus upon those things that divide you, those things that create strife, those things you don't agree with, those things you don't like that don't fit from your perspective. Instead, brothers and sisters, focus upon your Creator. And he goes on to really describe what he's saying in the next verse. He says, an example, brethren, he says, look to the prophets of old. Now, can you imagine, have you ever done a study of the prophets in the Old Testament? They're an interesting sort of folks. I mean, use Isaiah, Jeremiah. We know them quite well, you know, because in Daniel, because their, you know, their books are more well-known. But there's all that was listed, what we call minor prophets, like Hosea, Joel, Amos, all these different people that, and there's just a few, there's several of them, and they all go through difficulty as a result of their prophecy and what they're called to do. They all have suffering and things that they struggle. Even thinking of Isaiah, you realize Isaiah suffered a martyr's death because of his unwillingness to back down from what God told him to do. They ended up killing, they got tired of hearing him because of what he was saying about what was going to happen. And he was speaking the word that God had given him, and yet, even though he was faithful and did all that God had told him to do, he still suffered as a result of that. And that's really where James's point here, that you will suffer, you need to be patient in your suffering and your difficulty as the prophets were who spoke the name of the Lord. And yet we count them blessed because they endured, because they were faithful to the end. And then he gives us a reminder of Job. We all love to talk about Job, don't we? The endurance of Job, the patience of Job, and all the things that Job endured in his life. And many of you have read that book, and there was a while ago we had a men's group study on Saturday mornings that was studying that book, and it's a little bit disheartening at times because Job went through a lot of hard things in his life. And they weren't his fault. It wasn't like he created a situation that caused these things to happen. They just happened to him. And rather than complain, he instead stayed faithful to God and allowed God to use those things. And that's the example that James has given us here, to make sure that we are willing to endure, that we are willing to be faithful and allow God to use us. Because the ultimate truth here that he gets to at the end of this verse 11, of all these things that we deal with, that the Lord is full of compassion and merciful. And I am so grateful for that truth in my life, so grateful that God allows that truth to flesh itself out so much in my life, that he is compassionate and merciful with someone like me and someone like you. There are times I do not deserve, in fact, pretty much every day, don't deserve his compassion and mercy, and yet he shows it to me anyway. And that's the element of who James wants them to understand. This is the God that you worship. This is the God that you serve. Trust him in the process. And that's hard for us sometimes to trust the process because we want it to go a little quicker. But yet God has a purpose and a plan for all that he allows you to endure and uses that to accomplish his desires in your life. And what that looks like and what that'll end up being, I don't know, and neither do you, and that's okay. But sometimes we have to be content. We have to be willing to live in the unknown, live in that realm of the discomfort, and let God minister to us and work through us in spite of that, and let him stretch us and do whatever he wants to do in our lives. Because you never know what God will do as you are going through these times when you're frustrated and you're not sure how things are going to work out, and then God does something that you didn't expect. And many of you experienced that in your lives. He's done something in your family. He's done something with some friends, with coworkers. And that has changed the way that you see life because you weren't expecting it to happen, but it happened anyway. And I'm grateful for God being at work in those unknowns in my life. When I didn't know what was going to go on, when I didn't know what was going to happen, and I was frustrated, and I was like, God, what are you up to? And then God did something that I never expected. As I was working on this message, I thought of an incident that I had many years ago when I was in college, and yes, that was many years ago, and we won't talk about how long ago that was, but it was a while ago when I was in college, and I was a student at Southwest Baptist University in Bolivar, and you know, a freshman, and when you're a freshman out in college, you think you know everything, right? You know, I thought I knew it all, was getting ready, but my roommate, who was my good friend from high school, and I, we were kind of getting to know some people, and we would do these things called open houses for our dorms, and it was an opportunity for people to come in and see your room, and so, you know, we had our room kind of as decorated as a couple of freshman guys who didn't have much money could have it, which, you know, that was the point. And my roommate was, his girlfriend had just dumped him, so he was kind of looking for a girl. So he was really excited about this opportunity because girls could come in the dorm as well. So we were all sitting around, and I can remember all these people came through. We had, I don't know, it seemed like, it's not a big campus, okay? So pretty much the whole campus had come through your room in about a couple hours, and you wouldn't know it. So but we were all these people came through. But I remember one guy that came through forever. Because he came through and he just started talking to me like he knew me. You ever met anybody like that? I mean, he had that kind of personality. He just started talking to me, and we kind of struck up a conversation and he led that conversation, but it made a difference because we kind of just connected in that point. And I thought, well, this was nice. It was really nice this guy to come by, but you know, I'll probably not see him. I'll see him again, but we probably won't know each other. But what's interesting is that guy became one of the best friends I've ever had in my life. through that casual conversation in the dorm room. It was an unlikely friendship that led to an open door in a relationship, and we've known each other and still communicate on a regular basis. And I'm so grateful that he took the initiative to initiate that relationship, but also that God used that to build a relationship between us, because he has helped me in my walk with Christ in more ways than I can describe in the moments that we have. He's set my feet to the fire. He's taught me things. God has used him in so many ways to speak truth into my life, to pray with me, to show me grace. And I'm grateful for that. And many of you may have folks like that in your life, that it wasn't planned. It wasn't someone you thought would, but someone, God brought that someone to your life. And I use that as an example to help us understand that God is at work at all times in our lives. And God is bringing people and situations to our lives that will change us, that will help us grow and mature and become the men and women God desires to become if we just allow God to work, and we just trust the process. Because God knows what he's doing. I know you've heard me say that all along as I've been here. That's kind of one of those things I say probably more often than you want to hear me say it, but it's true, isn't it? God knows what he's doing. God is involved in working in our lives and changing us and altering us and helping us understand who we are. And he is full of compassion and mercy. And he desires for you and I to experience that in his presence in a way that can only be experienced through knowing Jesus Christ. And one of the things I'm so grateful for was that many years ago, I went to a little church, but a pretty good-sized church down in the town of Hutchinson, Kansas, and heard the gospel, as I've shared with you before, through the flannel board stories, and heard the gospel in our children's worship time, and finally the gospel got through. And I was thinking about this morning because one of the verses in the U Bible app that was highlighted this week was Romans 5:8, and that was the verse that God used to rock my world and to open my heart to the truth. I mean, John 3:16 is great, love it, but Romans 5:8 was that verse that God used, and I've shared that before, but as I think of that and how God used it, I'm grateful that God kept my heart open to what he was trying to say. And maybe for some of you today, you're trying to figure, what is God trying to say to me? And if you have never had the opportunity or never taken advantage of the opportunity to have a relationship with Christ, I want to encourage you to take advantage of that today. And we would love to talk with you. We can talk through the chat. We can talk through email. If you want to call the church office, I'd love to talk to you about that. There's nothing more I'd rather talk to somebody about than coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is the number one thing I love to do. And I know many believers in this church would love to do the same. If you'd like to know more about that, we would love to give you that opportunity to experience that. Because that's where all of this begins. That's what makes all of this come together. That's what caused it to work, is a relationship with Christ. And James kind of concludes this section of the verses with a strange admonition, at least in light of everything, but I think it fits very clearly here. He says, "Above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes, your no be no. Live your life as God intended you to live it. Be honest in all your dealings. Be faithful. Don't try to manipulate situations. Just live in accordance with the principles and teachings that God has given you." And what a different place the world would be if more of us focused upon living out our lives in that way, that we allowed the Holy Spirit to do that work in and through us so that we were able to just simply be who God has equipped us to be and not who we think we should be, and not focusing on what we don't have and what we can't do, but instead focus on what God has enabled and equipped us to accomplish in our lives. And a lot of times in the church, in any church for that matter, a lot of people say, well, I wish I could do this or I wish I could do that. Well, that's great to wish to have other gifts, but what about the gifts that God has given you already? I don't know what those gifts are. I mean, everybody in this fellowship has different abilities, talents, and gifts, and this church functions because we all have different gifts, talents, and abilities. That's how we're able to accomplish far more as a body than we would ever accomplish in and of ourselves. And rather than looking at one another and trying to say which is a stronger gift, which is more important, folks, all the gifts matter. Every gift has an essential part in making a difference in the kingdom. And every one of us have a specific place that God has uniquely designed us for to make a difference in this world and in the kingdom of God. And God has equipped you. He has all your experience, all your talents, all your gifts come together, and God is wanting to use your life in a way that he can use you better than anyone else in the position where he's placed you. And God knows what that situation is. God understands that. He knows you, because God knows you and I better than anyone else knows us, because he made us. And he made us the way we are for that purpose, to use us in accordance with that. And I believe that's really at the heart of what the understanding that James has in verse 12 here. And really, in a lot of this text, is to understand who we are in Christ, to who we are, how God has made us, and allow God to use us in the middle of situations and not try to alter them or fix them or do whatever it is that we do to try and make things better for ourselves, but be patient in the process and allow God to use us in a way that only God can use us for His benefit and for the kingdom's benefit. If I were to say one thing to the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole today, it would be that we as the Church of Jesus Christ trust the process. Allow God to do the work that God wants to do in and through us. Even when it's difficult, even when it doesn't work out in accordance with our plans, even when we think, well, God, you're not moving quick enough, you're not doing what I want you to do, God, I don't understand this, trust God. You know, God's been doing what God's been doing a lot longer than you and I've been around. Can we agree on that? I hope so. He's been doing this for a long time. He's been working with people. And you know, do you realize that God has worked with flawed people before? People that didn't have all the answers, the people that didn't do everything exactly right. If you don't believe me, look at the text. Look at the Bible. There are example after example after example. A great place to start and look at that, if you want to know, is Hebrews 11. It's called the roll call of the faithful. It's a big thing with all these people that by faith. But every one of those people, if you go look at their backstory in the scriptures, they were far from ideal human beings, and they had their issues and hang-ups. And yet God was able to use them as they entrusted themselves and gave their lives to Him and allowed Him to lead them. And they were patient, allowing God to work in and through them at the pace that God desired to work and the process that God chose to use to fashion them into the man or woman that God wanted them to become. And God still is at work in the hearts and lives of people in the world today, including you and me. And He's taking us on that journey, enabling us to become the men or women that He has designed us to be. And so often, so many folks, I think, in the fellowship miss it because we get impatient. Or we think, God, you know, I wish you'd do it this way, and I want to do this. And hey, I wanted to be a professional basketball player when I grew up, but you know, I'm missing a few things there, like about at least 6 inches, if not more, in height, and something called athletic ability that I do not have. Those things are kind of necessary to be that. So that didn't happen? Get over it, Michael. It's not going to happen, and it's not going to happen today. It's never going to happen. And that's okay. That's not who God designed me to be. I don't know what it is for you that you think you should have been or wish you had been, but let that go and let God use you as you are. Because you are uniquely designed by the Creator of the universe to accomplish a specific role that He has set for you. And as you entrust your life to Him and you allow Him to use you in ways that only He can, He will accomplish far more with your life entrusted Him than you ever could do on your own and ever manipulate in any way by your own circumstances and your own talents and abilities. And I'm grateful that I serve a God that is patient, a God that is compassionate, but a God that is willing to allow me to go through some things to teach me the lessons that I have to learn so that I might follow Him more effectively. Because you see, the point in all those things isn't just to make us better people and give us a better understanding. The point is to make us more like Jesus. That's the point of everything that God does and allows to happen in our lives, is to make us more like Christ. That's what it's all about. That's why when we came in that moment, when we came to receive Jesus Christ into our lives, we came to experience that life-transforming encounter where we said, this life is yours, Lord, you can have it. That began the process, that began the journey that God has for us and has for you. To make you the man or woman of God that He desires to become, to be like Christ in your character, in your conduct, in the way that you show love and compassion with people. He is working on that. He is enabling you to be more than you ever dreamed possible because Jesus Christ now indwells you if you're a follower of Christ, right? That's what, you know, He indwells us through the Holy Spirit. He empowers us to live in ways that we cannot live in our own strength. And James is hearkening to that here as a reminder to us of who God is and what God is seeking to do and seeking to accomplish in our lives. So my prayer for you today and throughout the week is that you would just be patient with what God is doing in your life. Surrender to the process and allow God to accomplish whatever He wants to accomplish in your life. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your willingness to work in us and through us. And sometimes, Lord, in my case, a lot of times, Father, it's in spite of me that You do Your work. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for how You minister and move in ways that I can't even fathom. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as we enter into this time, and if there is one here today that has not received you, that's watching this broadcast, Father, that they would reach out to someone in this fellowship or a friend that knows Christ, someone that they might experience that life-altering and life-transforming opportunity of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to spend this time in worship together and to share the gospel with so many people and share the good news with so many folks that we probably would not have had the opportunity to had it not been for the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Father, bless the remainder of this time we have together and use it for your purposes and for your glory. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. Love.